Well, over in Cairo, midday prayers, Islamic prayers have just ended, Friday prayers, and now there's a protest going on against the Israeli offensive into Gaza. And at the same time, the Egyptian government is holding peace talks to end the conflict. Israeli representatives went home yesterday, and Hamas is scheduled to send leaders tomorrow. Is Cairo the center of diplomacy in this crisis? Here with the story of what's going on in Cairo is BBC Arab Affairs analyst Magdi Abdelhadi. He joins us from Cairo. Magdi, thanks for joining us.
Hi, John.
How significant is this diplomatic initiative? We've got the United Nations Security Council acting. We've got the French involved in some way. Hamas is coming to Egypt, and things didn't go very well the last time they were there.
Oh, it is highly significant because this is sort of a build-up of diplomatic pressure, as it were, to try to contain this crisis from spreading beyond the Gaza Strip. And Egypt plays an important role, has always played a role as a mediator between Hamas and Israel because they don't speak to each other, neither of them recognize each other. Egypt also has played a role as a mediator between Hamas and the Palestinian Authority. There is a deep rift between the two sides. Palestinian Authority controls the West Bank, Hamas controls the Gaza Strip, and the Palestinian president, the head of the Palestinian Authority, is due in Cairo later this evening. So what happened in the security, at least from the Egyptian point of view, what happened in the security Council last night consolidates the Egyptian or the Franco-Egyptian initiative. The Egyptians don't see a contradiction between the UN resolution and what they've been trying to achieve. There is a tendency, it seems, to see the Franco-Egyptian initiative as a mechanism to bring about a ceasefire. As I'm sure you understand, in conflicts like this, there's always a question, who's going to start ceasing the fire first? So the Egyptians, Israelis, and Hamas will eventually have to, with the help of other international players, sit down and say, right, how are we going to get to the point where that conflict ends? So Egypt right at the center of events, not to mention the fact, of course, that Egypt shares a border with the Gaza Strip, and what happens inside the Gaza Strip matters a lot inside Egypt. As you just mentioned earlier, there's widespread anger and resentment among the Egyptian population. They feel that the suffering of the Palestinians, the Egyptian authority or the Egyptian regime should do something about it, should be seen to be doing something about it. And that's precisely what the Egyptian government has been doing.
Well, Magdi Abdelhadi, let's talk for a moment about that. The Israelis have been fairly clear that Hamas needs to stop its rocket attacks or to sort of unilaterally or preemptively stop those rocket attacks into Israeli territory. I'm wondering if, as Hamas arrives in Cairo and these talks begin, how important is it that the talks get beyond what is probably of the greatest concern to Hamas, and that is the status of the border crossing at Rafah between Egypt and Gaza? There's always been a disagreement between Hamas and Cairo about that border post. What's the chance that these talks will get beyond the border post and go to the larger issue?
Well, I think, you know, the details are connected to the whole picture. In order to get from A to B to C, you will have to sort of shuttle between the broader issues and the details. Reaching a wider settlement, in order to get there, you have to settle the border crossing. You have also to settle the equally important issue for the Israelis, and that is more or less sealing the Egyptian border with Gaza in order to prevent smuggling weapons into Hamas. So you cannot really separate one from the other. You have to... The Egyptian initiative, just let me remind you, starts with a temporary ceasefire, opening of border crossings, and then talks on long-term ceasefire, measures to ensure that there will be no more smuggling of weapons across the border between Egypt and Gaza. So in order to reach the sort of the definitive and long-term truce, you have to sort out all these problems. And as you some of the listeners also know that Hamas has already had some reservations about the Egyptian initiative. It has rejected the UN resolution, the UN Security Council resolution outright because it says it hasn't been consulted. So there's going to be a lot of tough talking taking place when the Hamas delegation gets here. They're adamant that, you know, they're in the full right to resist Israeli occupation, as they say it, while the Israelis feel they're under threat from the rockets. And without these rockets stopping, they would never be able to move from stage one to B to C, because Israelis are, their prime concern is security. And what
sure.
they really want to discuss first is the question of smuggling of weapons from Egypt into Gaza, and they want to start there rather than the border crossing.
Well, in the last few seconds, Magdi Abdelhadi, it seems as though the Egyptians have kept the border crossing pretty tight at Rafah, and I'm wondering if that gives Egypt and Cairo maximum clout over Hamas right now, because they really are in a position to offer that as a bargaining chip quickly.
Well, quickly, the Egyptian government is under enormous pressure domestically not to be seen to be strangling Hamas. So maintaining, Egypt wants to see the border reopen, but under such conditions that will not be seen as a victory for Hamas.
Interesting. Magdi Abdelhadi is the Arab Affairs analyst for the BBC. He's reporting from Cairo. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.